And thank you, ladies. Thank you, Larry. Some of you have asked this morning where my wife is, and some of you didn't even recognize the fact that she wasn't in the front pew, but... Not true, that's right. Untrue. She actually had oral surgery this week and is in a lot of pain, not wanting to talk to you today, so not wanting to have to talk. She's experiencing pain in her mouth, and so she's home. Hi, honey. It's great. She's watching on our Facebook feed, maybe. But it's a great reminder. Welcome to those of you who are joining us via our Facebook page or who will watch this later. It's great to have you with us this morning. Today we're going to continue our quick jog through the book of Matthew. If you have your Bibles this morning, I encourage you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look today at verses 9 through 13. And I've entitled my message this morning, Hanging with Those Who Need Us the Most. How many of you like movies? Anybody like movies? Yeah, there's a few hands. You know, there's something about movies in the theater are the best. You know, I like watching movies at home, but I like the dark. I like the smell of popcorn. Big bucket in front of me. You know, home popcorn just isn't quite the same as movie theater popcorn. But although Orville Redenbacher makes a good movie theater popcorn, in case you're wondering, microwavable, but I digress. So anyway, movies, you know, you get transported into kind of another place, another world, and the sound is loud, which I like, and it's just a great experience. But you know, in every movie, there are hundreds of people that flash across the screen that have no bearing on the plot of, seemingly no bearing on the plot of the story, right? These are called extras. You know, these are individuals who basically occupy the seats on the bus when there's a scene on the bus, or when there's a big city scene, they're walking, hustling, bustling across the town. Got a movie here, Ocean's 8. You know, we've got three characters who are part of the movie, but you look in the background, there are people who are eating, dining. You know, if you watch this clip, you'd see the silent hustle and bustle of the waiters or waitresses walking across. They make the scene what it is, right? I mean, imagine that scene with just the three people there in an empty restaurant. Or imagine a chase scene through the city of New York or San Francisco without all the other cars on the street, right? It'd kind of be boring and not really, not really as exciting as it is. You know, basically, they're human scenery. We see them again sitting at tables of restaurants, in streets. The truth is, in our lives are filled with extras. Every day we venture out of our house, we encounter them. You see them when you're getting gas, when you're getting groceries, when you're driving. You drive by them every single day, paying virtually no attention to them. You know, they often seem like background scenery to the main event, which is our very own lives, right? Now, that's not to say they're unimportant, right? We just don't pay much attention to them. You know, our daughter Allie was in high school, was quite the feisty young lady, right? And, oftentimes, the drama or things in life would revolve around her. And so we often joked with her, oh, this is Allie's world. We're just living in it, right? Any of you had teenagers like that? Oh, this is their world. We're just, extras in their drama, right? Well, this is true also with Jesus. As we've seen throughout the Gospel of Matthew, crowds were always surrounding Jesus, pressing in, wanting to listen to him, wanting to be healed. People that had names, but in the reading of the Gospel, we don't know who they were, but occasionally in the gospel, an unlikely star appears. You know, they emerge in the story, and one of those stars we find in our story this morning. Again, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. In verse 9, it says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Now, I want you to notice something in the text. It says, Jesus saw him. The truth is, we have lost the art of really seeing people. We've lost the art of seeing people as Jesus sees them. You know, there's something different about this encounter because Jesus not only saw Matthew, but he invited him into his life, into his drama. He said, follow me. In other words, he said, come be a part of my story. Come journey with me. Come walk with me. You know, I believe that we need to, as the people of God, be asking what greater impact could we have if we began to cultivate the habit of opening up ourselves to the voice of the Holy Spirit and following the Holy Spirit to move us into the lives of those extras that He desires for us to impact. And I don't know about you, but we a lot of us do all we can to avoid really seeing people or really participating with people, right? I mean, I'm probably the worst. If there's an automated system that I can do without interacting with people, I'm there, right? ATMs, self-checkout, things online, shopping online. If I could avoid people, oftentimes I take that easy route. And you say, but you're a pastor. You're supposed to like people. You're supposed to interact with people. Well, actually, I'm training you to do that, right? So I don't have, no. That's not the truth. But you see, Jesus modeled for us the lost art of really seeing people in everyday life and refused to simply pass by them with judgment or thinking that he knew them too quickly, right? Matthew was a tax collector. Tax collectors were in partnership with Rome to collect taxes from Jewish folks, and so they were thought of to be traitors. They were, you know, they were shunned. They were, you know, they were people who oftentimes padded their own pockets with the extra that they collected as long as they gave whatever they needed to Rome. So they were hated. Nobody wanted to be with them. And I love, I don't know if you've seen The Chosen, but I love the way the TV series The Chosen depicts Matthew as kind of this squirrely guy who's interested and curious about Jesus and, you know, and yet he you can obviously tell that he's in bed with Rome. He's doing Rome's bidding. I love when Jesus calls him to follow him. It's amazing. But here's a kicker. Jesus invited him into relationship, and it changed the trajectory of his life. You know, we've been talking a lot about becoming missional people, right? People, the people of God, partner with God in his mission to redeem the world. And I honestly believe that relationships are the key to a missional life. And it's interesting in this passage of Scripture, notice where the relationship took them. It took them to the dinner table. In verse 10, it says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. I don't know about you, but there's something about sitting down with people and having a meal, right? There's something that kind of breaks down walls, breaks down barriers, breaks down inhibitions when we sit around a table and we eat together. Something about the food and the conversation and the things that go on. You know, growing up, my parents made it a point for us to every night to sit down and to have dinner together. We would sit down and we'd talk about our day, we'd laugh, we'd cry, we'd oftentimes eat good food. We tell stories oftentimes. I say, my mama said, okay. She may listen to this but you know, she would, okay, I'm gonna stop digging. You know, first rule of holes, when you're in one, stop digging. So we would most of the time have delicious food when all the time, okay, never mind. We would cultivate the habit of sharing a meal with others, with our family. And so it's interesting that, you know, Jesus, the first thing he did was he went to Matthew's house. And Matthew, after being called into relationship with Jesus, invited a whole lot of other tax collectors and disreputable people, and they sat down and they had a meal because he was excited to share with them who Jesus was. You know, in his very simple book, Michael Frost, in his book Surprise the World, The Five Habits of Highly Missional People, talks about five ways that we can engage people in a missional life. He uses the acrostic BELLS, B-E-L-L-S, and I apologize because I don't have a slide for each of these, but the B stands for bless people, both inside and outside the church. You see, if we want to be missional people, we're called to bless others. Now, you say, well, what do you mean by bless? Well, you could bless them by giving them a gift. It could be something as simple as a smile, right? Or an extra generous tip for your waiter or waitress. It could be a word of encouragement. Perfect stranger, encouraging them some way, blessing them. We are called to be a blessing. In Genesis, Abraham was called to be a great nation, and it says in Genesis that he was blessed to be a blessing. And I believe that we as the people of God are blessed to be a blessing to others. And so one way that we can begin to cultivate relationship with people is by be blessing them. Those inside the church or outside the church, we're going to do that this week with the folks at Davis Elementary. Bless them by giving them some candy and just a note of encouragement and say, hey, we see you. We see you. We see the hard work that you put in, and we thank you. So that's the B. The E, which is what I want to focus on this morning, is that we eat together. We eat together. Michael Frost says it's important for us to share a meal together regularly with people, both inside and outside the church. He encourages his people, the people that he pastors, and in this book, to eat together, meal with both believers and non-believers. Three meals a week. One has to be with someone outside the church or someone who's a non-believer. You may say, oh, that's easy. No, it's not. Many of us have, you know, our relationships are embedded in the church, and so we don't know a whole lot of non-believing people. We need to start cultivating relationships with people who are outside the church, people in our community. Invite them to a meal. Invite them in our homes. And I remember when that was standard operating procedure for everybody who went to church, right? You just invite people to your homes. We don't do that much anymore, do we? And if you're not comfortable doing that, invite them out to a restaurant. If you don't have the means, don't feel bad if you know, you go Dutch, or, you know, is that a thing anymore, Dutch treat, you know, where you pay, they pay for their own? But invite people out to a meal. It's interesting. This is what he says. He says, sharing meals together on a regular basis is one of the most sacred practices we can engage in as believers. He says, missional hospitality is a tremendous opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. We can literally eat our way into the kingdom of God. He says, if every Christian household regularly invited a stranger or a poor person into their home for a meal once a week, we would literally change the world by eating. How about that? And you say, well, how are you going to change the world by eating? It's all about relationships. B, blessing people, is about relationships. E, eating together with people who are not yet followers of Jesus, is about eating together. It's important that we open ourselves up to those outside the walls of the church and to our family. And Alan Hirsch also says this, another missiologist. He says, cultivate in ourselves that Jesus habit of moving past prejudice, assessments of others we get via our initial impressions. We should work to develop a hearing ear, a seeing eye to what the Lord is saying to us about another individual. You know, oftentimes we look at people and we immediately judge them by the way they dress, by the, you know, the clothes they wear, the things that they may say. We've got to look at people through the lens of Jesus. We've got to cultivate the habit of seeing people as Jesus sees them, and that's where the L comes in. Bless, eat, listen. As I said earlier, we need to listen to the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit as we engage those around us. We need to be open to who Holy Spirit would bring across our path, would call us to engage in. And then the other L is to learn. We need to intimately learn Christ and His way as our leader, our model of how to live life. Jesus, in this instance, saw someone who was hated by the Jewish culture. A man by the name of Matthew, the tax collector, who people didn't want anything to do with. But Jesus saw him, and He invited him into relationship. Who is it that comes across your path, maybe on a regular basis, or maybe on a not-so-regular basis, that you keep at an arm's length? You keep hearing Holy Spirit say, hey, I need to include that person in my journey, in my life, but you've resisted Holy Spirit and His leading in your life. We need to listen for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn Christ as our model. And then the S stands for sent. We ourselves need to understand that we are sent people by God to every place in this world to take the kingdom of God to those who need hope and strength and peace. See, we can't just simply build relationships, although that's the start. We need to always be looking for opportunities to share with them the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. The hope that we have as believers. The hope that they can have if they would simply turn their life over to Jesus Christ and let Him be Lord of their life. We need to be willing to take a risk in opening up ourselves, our lives, our homes, our experience to people who need Jesus. But here's the shock of all shocks. The religious leaders were not happy with Jesus when He hung out with such people. Oh! They just didn't understand. Matthew 9, 11 through 13, this passage goes on to say, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked His disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And on hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I declare mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner. You see, Jesus quoted Hosea 6:6, which is a portion of Hosea's prophecy, which is calling Israel back into relationship and into their missional purpose. He's saying, I desire mercy, mercy for the people who don't know Jesus yet, and not sacrifice. Now, it's not that God cares any less for the righteous, but they already know Him, or at least they should. You see, it's a lost that we need to get to know, and that need to get to know Jesus, and that we need to be concerned about. You see, folks, as Jesus' ambassadors, we need to not simply say God loves you, but actually show it with our lives, show it with our bodies, participate in their lives. Be attentive to those who are not yet followers of Christ. You see, we need to begin to see people as Jesus does. There's another instance recorded for us in Luke chapter 15 that tells another time when Jesus was hanging around sinners and the religious leaders got upset, and Jesus tells three stories about a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son, and He reminds us that something or someone of value is lost and it warrants an all-out search. You know, growing up, this is not telling my mom day, but growing up, my mom had the propensity to lose things, either her keys or her purse. And when she would lose her keys and her purse, she would usually notice it when she was in a hurry and needed to get somewhere, right? So she would call, you know, put an all-out call to the boys to, hey, I'll give a dollar to anybody who can find my purse. And we would scramble, you know, back then a dollar was, you know, you could buy a few candy bars for a dollar. You can't do that anymore. But she would put out an all-out call for us to find her purse. And we would usually do it, and we would usually find it, and someone would inevitably get a dollar. But here's the thing, in our community, something of value is lost. There are people who are walking this life every single day without the hope of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in their life. And that thing of value requires for us as God's missional people to begin developing relationships with people, to move back into the neighborhood with fresh eyes, to see people with the eyes of Jesus, not as potential church members, but as beloved children of God who were created in His image and who God desires to restore to life and to hope through relationship with Him. The truth is, people want to be noticed. COVID-19 and other things in our culture have isolated us and fostered a feeling of insignificance. And it's interesting that from a very young age, we cry out to be noticed. You know, I love spending time with our grandkids. But, you know, when you're paying attention to one and the other feels a little slighted, it's always, "Papa, Papa, over here, I'm doing something cool too," right? Or every night, my wife, Chris, and our daughters have a FaceTime call. And oftentimes, the grandkids get involved. And if I'm sitting on the couch, our little grandson, Roran, will call out, "Papa, where are you?" until I peek my head around and show myself on the video screen. And Chris gets so irritated with that because Chris is like, "I'm right here in front of you. Why is it always about Papa?" But it's so interesting how kids at the age of 1 and 2 say, "Look at me, watch me, pay attention to me." God has developed in something inside of us to want to be noticed by others, and I believe want to be noticed by God as well, the God of the universe. And so as God's missional people, we need to do all we can to see people with the eyes of Jesus. You know, it's interesting that with the explosion of social media platforms like Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and Twitter, people are crying out, "Please notice me. I'm here. I exist. I matter." The problem is oftentimes these platforms have done more harm than good, have divided more than united. And as God's missional people being sent with a redemptive agenda, yes, we've got an agenda. It's important for us to see that behind the eyes of those extras in our life that we brush by every single day is a soul who is crying out, seeking relationship, seeking connection, seeking the God, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We need to open up our hearts to Holy Spirit's leadership, making those connections. And it begins with love. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says this, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Folks, people are looking for authenticity. They can spot an agenda a mile away, so we need to watch our motives. Paul there says our conversations need to be full of grace. You know, it's oftentimes, I believe, inappropriate for us to begin a relationship by saying, "Hey, you're a sinner in need of salvation." We need to get to know people. We need to understand who they are. God's grace, yes, deals with our sin, but it also deals with the other struggles that we're facing in life. And so our conversations need to be full of grace, yes, but they also need, and full of truth. We need to understand that it's not our job to judge people. It's not even our job to save people. That's God's job and Holy Spirit's job. Our job is simply to love. And then he says our conversation needs to be seasoned with salt. We need to make them thirsty for more conversation, more of Jesus, more of grace in their own lives. We can do that by loving them, by showing that we care, by pressing in, even when they tell us some shocking things. Pretend like it's not shocking at all. People deal with that every day. But you know what? God loves you. You're created in the image of God. God desires a relationship with you. Open up our hearts and our lives to people who need to know who Jesus is. You see, Jesus was walking down the road, and he saw a despised tax collector. And he said, I want you. I want you. And I'm so glad that one day Jesus was walking along and he looked at me and he said, I want you. I want you to follow. And I said, let's go. Although there were times when I said, okay, wait a second, I got to do my thing first, and then we'll go. But thankfully, I finally said, let's go. Friends, there's people that we walk, that we drive by, that we walk by, that we just they're flashes in our peripheral vision who need to know Jesus. We need to open up our hearts and our lives and our minds to see people as Jesus sees them. So let's reflect for a moment. What's Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? Maybe it's a name coming across your mind of someone that you live in close proximity to, who Holy Spirit is saying, that person needs you. They need the Jesus in you. Maybe it's a family member. And here's your challenge. Before you leave the home, before you leave your home every day this week, ask God to open your eyes and your heart to those along your path. Ask Holy Spirit to alert you when it's time to make one of those extras part of your real life drama. To bless them, bless you. To invite them to a meal. To listen to Holy Spirit. To follow Christ's example, to remind ourselves that we are the sent people of God with a mission to fix what sin has broken, to redeem the lost. I want to encourage you this week to become a smile maker. You know, Chris and I, well, I worked in the grocery business for over 10 years, and many of those years I spent as a grocery clerk. And I would have people come through my check stand with just the grumpiest dispositions. And oftentimes they would try to get me to be grumpy as well. But I made it my resolve that I was going to do everything I could to try to make them smile. And so Chris and I, you know, when we got married, we decided that that was our goal. Whenever we'd go to the grocery store, now this was before self-checkout, but whenever we'd go to the grocery store, our goal was to make, or to Target, we went to Target very often, our goal was to make the person who waited on us smile by telling a cheesy joke or just commenting on, and more often than not, we succeeded in making them smile. You may say, well, that's such an insignificant thing, but is it really? Become a smile maker this week. Maybe it's the gas attendant or the person who waits on you today at the restaurant or or whoever it may be, make it your goal this week to put a smile on someone's face, to bless them, to encourage them, to do it in the name of Jesus. Don't just do it to make a smile, but do it to let them know that there's a God who sees them. And the God who lives in you, Holy Spirit, sees them as well. You know, maybe it might open up an opportunity for you to share with them about your relationship with Christ. I pray that we have many, many of those conversations, but maybe it won't. But who knows that a smile on a person's life, an encouragement, averts a disaster or a suicide or something that they're contemplating. Maybe they're thinking, no one cares, no one likes me, I might as well just end it. And by bringing a smile to their face, by showing them, hey, I see you, might change the way they see the world and eventually bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we take on this challenge, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're reminded that everywhere we go, everywhere we look, there are people that come across our path who are hurting, who are in need, who just need someone to see them like Jesus sees them. People who are beloved sons and daughters who He desires to be in relationship with. Lord, do we see people like that? Lord, give us Your eyes, give us Your heart. Help us to see people as You see them. As we go about our business this week and as people flash by the scene of our life, Lord, help us to notice, to be open, to be aware of the people that You desire us to interact with, to show them that we see them, we know them, that there is a God who knows them and loves them and wants to be in relationship with them. Father, we're Your people. We're partnering with You to redeem our community. Lord, we can practice this on our Dump on Us Day when people from our community come and as they do spring cleaning, they throw their stuff in the dumpster. Lord, help, give us the eyes, give us the heart, give us the encouragement to be smile makers, to let them know that they are a people of value. Lord, as we interact with teachers and staff and those at Davis, as we interact with those that in our neighborhood, Lord, help them to see that they matter. Not only to God, but to us as well. Make it so in our lives and in our church, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Amen.